You know, anybody who's been around long enough knows that the Lord either gives me stuff to preach on biblical salvation and biblical life changing, and there's a lot that people are missing. I was just talking to Doug today. There's a lot that people are missing about salvation. That they seem to think that when they get saved, they go off and they live their life like they used to. And I'm sorry, but I'm not arguing with anybody, but I'm just telling you right now, the Bible says there's going to be change. Right. And change is, you have the Holy God living inside of you. You have Jesus Christ living inside of you. How can you stay the same? How can you be the same old person doing the same old things and claim salvation? I guess for me, I don't understand it. I haven't been saved that long, but my Bible tells me that there's change. We're going to go to being 1 Kings today, 1 Kings 8. And I'll explain. I'm coming at this text a little differently than I'm sure other people would. And I'm going to explain it. Just it laid a good foundation for something the Lord put on my heart. 1 Kings 8. And 1 Kings 8. I think it's verse. Yep. Okay. 1 Kings 8, verse 13. It says, I have surely built thee an house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide forever. King Solomon is talking about the temple here. But I want to look at this as a picture of what God wants a Christian home to be. A house that the Lord wouldn't mind being in. A house that's been settled on being a place that the Lord can abide until such a time He has called us home. He's not talking about a house here, but I'm just going to use this as a foundation, as a picture of how God would have Christians build their home, how they would make their house. I mean, what is it? What is it? How is your house being built today? Where is it being built on? What's the foundation? I mean, is it enough to where God would want to put His name on your home? Is it enough where He'd want to settle there and say, yep, these are my people here. I'm going to love them and I'm going to get them through these things. I mean, will God want to associate you and your household with His name? I know a lot of people, just in the few years that I've been saved, I see what people call themselves a Christian. And I say, my God wouldn't want His name on them. My God wouldn't want His name on their lifestyle. My God wouldn't want His name on what they call their family life. You see, a holiness. God says, be holy for I'm holy. He says, be separate. Come out from among them. You see, He wants us to be different. Why? Because it's a testimony. And today I'm going to talk about the house, your house, the one you're living in, your home, your husband, your wife, your kids, the house. Where's your house? And King Solomon here is talking about the temple, like I said. But we're going to use this as a picture, as an outline of how Jesus wants our house, how the Lord wants our house to be built. And it's something that me and my wife talked about on the way here. And we're not perfect by any means. We make mistakes. Me and her make mistakes as wife, a husband and wife. We make mistakes as parents. And then it happens. Here's the difference. The difference is we realize that. We pray together, get back in the Bible, get it right, and go back on. A lot of people don't do that. They stop at getting it right. Men, I'm just going to tell you right now. If you have something against your wife and you're treating her bitterly, go ahead and give up the prayer life. God is not going to hear it. He says it right in the Bible. Okay, I'm just telling you right now. That's one of the things you ask her. I'm asking her all the time. Did I say something wrong? I texted her the other day. I said, Amy, if I handled that wrong, if I said something wrong, forgive me. I want to get that right with you. She goes, no, we're fine. Then I know I'm okay. But I knew there was something there, wasn't there? I had to get it right. I apologized for it. I said, I'm sorry. I want to make this right between me and you. And then my prayers were heard again. Then God listened to me again. But I had to get it right with her. God is serious about that. God is serious how He wants us to treat our wives. Mm-hmm. Let me just ask you this. Do you think, she can vouch for it, do you think I would want my son to follow in the footsteps of the person I used to be a womanizer, to beat women? I mean, I did prison time for beating ladies. Prison time for doing it. Do you think I would want him to do that, follow my footsteps? Or do you think I would want him to take after how I treat his mother? What the Lord has taught me, how the men of God and the people that are learning, how they treat their wives. He watches. He watches how the men of God treat their wives. He watches how men treat ladies. That's how I want him. I want him to know that. Do you think I want my daughter here to settle for anything less? I wouldn't want her to settle for anything unless somebody who won't open a door for her. Somebody who won't love her, take care of her. Somebody who's not willing to go out there and work. Somebody who's not willing to go out there and do the things that he should be doing. I don't want her to ever settle for anything like that, ever. So her desire, we need to teach her for her desire to be somebody, first of all, a man who loves God. Somebody who's not afraid of King James Bible, not afraid to come to church. That needs to be somebody they love. And I believe God will answer that if we don't let them rush into it. A lot of people rush into things. Me and Amy, when we first met, we thought we were saved. We weren't. But we rushed into things. And I tell you, we paid a great price for that. Great price. And now that we've been saved, the Lord's building a house. A house. I told the kids this morning in Sunday school, I said, you might not like my double wide. That's my castle. You might not like my truck and my car. Those are my carriages. I have my own little kingdom, and I love it. My queen, my prince, and my princess I have right here. That's what God has given me, a second chance. They mean everything to me. It means a lot to me. It means the world to me that God would look down on me, to even look down on me, first of all, and then to save me from what I was, save me from the person who I used to be, save me from the nature that was there, I was born with, and then go ahead and say, Dale, here's a beautiful wife and two children. Go ahead, you're in charge of them. Imagine that. Oh, I can go to tell you some stories about my past. That God would even look down on somebody like me. Just the pain that I cause people. I mean, you can look at me and just say, you know, I had to come to the realization that I was a murderer. A murderer. I caused the death of babies in the womb more than one time. That's how cold-hearted I was. And for God to look down on me and to have mercy on somebody like me and then give me a family. That's why I take this thing serious. That's why I don't play games. God forgave somebody, man, I mean, who's a horrible person. I'm not the most horrible person. There's people out there worse than me. But I was a horrible person. I mean, just in God's eyes, I mean, I should have never, ever had a chance to have anything else in life. He said, I'm going to give you a new life. You know, God, the Lord put his name on me. I'm his now. My family is his now. My house is his now. That's why I say, it may not mean much to you, but to me, that means a lot to me. Everything that I have means a lot to me. And I take this Christian life very serious. Everybody can tell you that knows me. I take it very serious. It's not a game to me. This is something that the Lord, when he died on that cross, it wasn't a game to him. He wasn't up there smiling when he became me. And we have good times, don't we, Pastor? We have good times and joy and fellowship. But you know, we have our hard times as well. That's part of him building that house. It's part of that new life. And I want to get into that a little bit here. I'm taking this a little funny. This is, Solomon's talking about the temple here, but these words that he says makes me think of a Christian home. That's the first thing that came to my head is, man, that's a Christian home. Well, he says, I'm going to read that again. I have surely built thee a house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide forever. 1 Kings 8:13. Did you get that? Built thee a house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to... A settled place! My gosh, Ma, I don't think we've ever had a settled place in our lives, have we? We got one now. Amy, Luke, and all, a settled place is what we have. It's settled. We're going to serve the Lord. He's allowed to live in our house freely. Tell us what to do, direct and guide our lives, get us through things, get us around things, up things, up, whatever. He's allowed to come in our house and just tell us whatever he needs to tell us. It's settled. Our heart is settled in the thing, and we're going to serve the Lord. That's where our heart is. It's a settled place. Like many of us in here, we can experience that now our kids may not like. They don't understand the full meaning of everything. But you know what? They're tucked in at night. Mom and Dad love them. Moms love their children. Mom loves Randy. A settled house. Settled. You may not understand it right now, but you got a settled house. Now, if Jesus didn't step into our houses, our homes wouldn't be settled. That's the thing, people, they're missing out on that. You got settled. It may not be perfect, it may not be right, but God will settle it. He'll bring it to where he needs. Let me go on. How is the house or home that you're building? Is it of the Lord? Is it of the Bible? Is it of love? Or is it of pride and anger and things of this world? Let's read Psalm 127, verse 1. I'll tell you right now, pride, anger, and the things of this world will destroy a home quicker than quit. Quit. You start putting God in the back burner, and the way you raise your children, or the way the Bible says to, you know, for your single women, you guys do a great job with your children. I'm just telling you, there's things that I'm going to point out that's just for a single mom as well. But I'm just telling you right now, if you're married, better watch it. There's some warnings in here that God wants you to do certain things His way. Psalm 127:1 says, the Song of Degrees of Solomon. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain that build it. I'm telling you right now, the Bible will tell you right there, plain as day, that if the Lord is not building your house, you're doing it all in vain. You're doing it all wrong. There's reasons why God tells us to raise our children the way the Bible tells us to do it. Is it because it's me? No, to save our children from going through what we all went through. Mm-hmm. We've all been through things that are horrible and have scars in our hearts and our lives, and thank God that Jesus comes and heals that. But I'm just telling you now, just imagine sparing the pain of our children, of the things that we went through. Mm-hmm. That's why the Bible tells us to do it. They don't have to go through that stuff. You don't have to sit there one day and sit in a room like this, my mom can vouch for it. Excuse me, take me a second here. And we'll be sitting here like this, and I got my hands on the table. There's a glass between me and my mother. That's how she visited me. For 5 years, my mother used to come sit at a round table, bring me $20 in quarters, and I'd eat everything out of the vending machine. You don't have to do that with your children. That's why God tells us to raise them the way He wants us to raise them. You don't have to go and look at a casket and see your son buried there, unless the Lord calls him home. But I'm talking about the foolishness our children get into. We don't have to sit there and watch him in a casket and be brought to the grave. We need to raise him the way the Lord says we need to raise him. My mother remembers the times that I used to walk into her house, and I never, ever left my house without a 40-ounce of Old English in my back pocket, a fifth of Jack in the other pocket, and my pocket full of drugs. And that's how I used to go to my mother's house. You know, we don't have to sit there and put up with that with our children. We teach them the way the Bible tells us to teach them. Exactly. We don't have to worry about them being drug addicts and alcoholics. Okay? That's why the Bible tells us to do these things. Except the Lord. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Stop building your house on something that's not the firm foundation. I'm going to get into it. I'm just telling you now, as God is my witness, and me and my wife do not have this perfect. We just talked about this today. You think we have a perfect life and we just do everything right with our children? No, ask them. They'll tell you our mistakes. I hide nothing. I hide nothing from my Sunday school class. I hide nothing from you. I ain't afraid to tell you what the mistakes I made. Why? Because they're mistakes, and I will try hard not to do them again. That's how the Lord sometimes has to teach us to do things. He teaches us through our mistakes. He teaches us, if we don't run from them, that He'll show us and show us how to correct them and do things differently. Amy goes, well, how do you change us? Gosh, do the opposite of what you're doing now. If you can't understand the Lord's trying to tell you to do something in your heart, then just do the opposite of what you've always done. She goes, well, you know, you're always so outgoing and outspoken, and you can relate to people and this and that. I said, I had to learn that. I had to learn that. I was a fighter. I wasn't somebody who wanted to just come up and talk to you and be your buddy. I wasn't. You know how I met every one of my friends? I fought every one of them. I beat every one of them up. It's the truth. That's just how I met my friends. That's how I did it. Then I put them through tortures. Then I tortured my friends to see if they would stay my friends. And then I made them do things that they shouldn't have done to be my friends. That was my friends. Now I just call you guys my friends. I don't make anybody do that kind of stuff. I didn't think about that kind of stuff. You're my friends. Man. How did I learn that? I had to learn that. That's something I had to learn. Friendship was not easy for me to be a friend to somebody. It wasn't. I didn't learn how to be a husband overnight. I didn't learn how to be a dad overnight. These are all things that I've still learned. I'll learn until the day I go to glory. I will learn how to be a husband to her. I will learn how to be a dad to those two. I will learn how to be a son to her. Until the day I go home. But you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to build my house on the Lord. I'm not going to do it in vain. You know, my household, the other day, I told Pastor and Pastor Asquith and Pastor Haynes this. I left, I think it was Wednesday night. Yeah, I left Wednesday night. And there's a correction officer that lives in where I live. And he was my correction officer at Livingston. When I was at ASAP-KSAP, he was the correction officer on my dorm. I walked up to him the other day and I shook his hand and said, "You don't may not remember." I said, "But you were my correction officer at Livingston." He remembered who I was, and I got the chance to witness to him right there Wednesday night. Amen. See? They hear that stuff all the time. But to see it, to see somebody who's really a Christian, there's Gentiles Christianity all over the place. How many times did you hear me? "I'm going to change. I'm not going to do it no more." And a week later, I'm sitting back to where I was. And it was lucky if I got a few months in between my jail stays, and I mean that. I wasn't out very much. I wasn't out long in between my stays. I was in and out pretty regular. And I used to tell, "Now I'm done, Mama. It's over. I'm going to change now." Imagine what that must have felt like for her. Well, that CO sees the same thing and hears the same thing. And then he sees me walk up there, and I tell him, "Hey, Dale Morey got saved." He started telling me about his life. He had a child, a little boy. I forgot the name of the disease. It's pretty bad. They traveled back and forth to Rochester just about every day. I said, "I'm praying for you, man. I'm going to pray for that child." Just excited. He got excited over it. "Oh, man, that's great." He goes, "Your children are so nice and they're so polite." He goes, "You guys are just a happy family." Huh? That's why I strive to strive. That's why I strive the way I strive. Because I don't even have to say that. Is that the first time? Maybe the second time I talked to the guy. But he could tell me about my whole family. Tell me they ain't watching. They're watching. They're watching what Jesus is doing. They're watching what the Bible's doing in my life. I don't have to go over there and shout and all that kind of stuff. You know what? We went to Niagara Falls last night. I got to hand out tracts and, you know, talk to people and stuff like that. Sometimes that's necessary. Sometimes they're just watching your life. Now, he knows I'm an ex-convict. He's watched my life. Oh, I've heard that a million times. "Yep, you're going to be a Christian. Go out there and live a Christian life." And you know what? A couple weeks later, here's the guy. We're turning on violation of probation. He's not seeing that in me. You know why? I just want to give you a little. I got true conversion. I got real salvation. Something happened in me. It's called Jesus Christ. I got saved. I'm not going to go back to prison. And if I do, it's the Lord's will, and I'm just preaching there too. Before, when I was lost, they used to call me and my roommate, Peter and Paul, because we used to go preach the Bible to them. Not the right Bible, but we preached it to them. And the Muslims used to see us and go, "Oh gosh, here comes Peter and Paul." And that's what they would do, walk away from us, because they knew we were coming at them with something. I've had razors held up to my face and everything else. Just crazy times, man. But the, you know, if the Lord ever, all the times that I went through prison, could you imagine? And I didn't do anything wrong, but imagine if I went to a different country and I got put in prison. I wouldn't have had to handle it. I'd be okay there. Because I've been there. And imagine I'd be able to go in there the way pastor's teaching that Bible, and I'd be able to go ahead and teach him even if I didn't have a Bible in front of me. I would know things. Imagine if that's what the Lord had for my end. As long as he takes Amy and them home first. I wouldn't want to leave them out in this wicked world by themselves, man. I just wouldn't want it. But, you know, where are we building our houses, man? If your house is not being built on the things of the Lord, you've missed it. You're building on what building means nothing. It's in vain. Vain means good for nothing, no value, a thing of naught. That's what the Bible calls those who build their house on other things than the Lord. Your house needs to be built on the Lord. It needs to be built on the Bible. Or otherwise, it's vain. Vain, vain. It means nothing. What are you doing out of it? We all as parents can sit and just look back at the children at the playground or children at school, wherever, and we can just see they're definitely not building their house on the things of the Lord. My wife's classroom, she gets assaulted by third and fourth graders. I'm going to tell you right now, how close is your house to becoming that? We're not invincible. We're not invincible Christians. That's why God, if you look, the Lord tells us a lot. Strap up. Put the boots on. Get ready to endure some hardness. Grab your shield and your helmets and all that. Why do you think He prepares us for all that? Because there's going to be some hard things coming at us. And just to let you know, once we start getting puffed up and pridey and all that, you watch your family. You'll know when God, when you start getting high-minded and all puffy. You watch your family and watch what happens to your family when you start getting that way. God forbid if I ever sat around and thought that I was better than anybody at any time. Ever. Ever. I'm not going to think that way. I make good, different decisions than other people. People call me a nut. They call me brainwashed. They call me somebody who's really into the Bible, a fanatic, and I'm fine with all those names. Because it's better than the names that I was ever called in my past. Ever. And I like living my life this way. I don't mind living my life to the Bible, according to the Bible. And I mean, we have a good time with it. We have a good time sharing the things that we share now, huh, babe? I mean, we have a good time raising our children the way we raise our children. It's not a bad thing. Now, the way we used to be was a bad thing. It just, it could have turned out pretty bad for those two. And still some of the marks are on Luke. Last week, a couple times last week, I wanted to go spank him. Now, I don't spank in anger. Ever. Do I spank in anger? She'll tell you. My kids will tell you, I will not touch my kids if I'm angry. If I know that I'm angry, we're just going to let it go ahead. Cool. I'm going to go cool down somewhere, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to deal with them. My two kids are right there. You can bring them aside. You can ask them any questions you want about how I'm out. I don't mind them answering. Okay? So the other day I went to go spank Luke and he curled up on me in a fetal position. What's that tell you? Amy looked at me and she goes, you know, he still remembers that, huh? That's the fear he used to have of me. I looked at her and said, you don't have to be that way anymore, Luke. I could beat you that way. I could be very angry and bash your head in. I could be very angry and take care of the things that, the way I used to. I said, but I'm not that way anymore, Luke. But boy, I tell you, it eats me up inside to see him do that. Kills me, because that's the way it could have been permanently for him. It's not going to be. He has to get over that. All right? He's got to get over it, just like we have to get over things, all right? They got to get over things. There's scars, man. If people think that scars like that don't listen, I'm just going to tell you right now. If you think for one second those scars don't bother your children, I've been saved for almost 3 years, and I've never raised my hand to my children angry. Since I've been saved, 3 years, and he still knows it. Just saying. He can tell you some words that I used to call him. He can tell you the choice words and how I used to handle it, and he can still tell you. Autumn can tell you, man. I mean, sometimes I'll say a word, and it'll just hear her just right. She'll remember that Daddy used to be like that. And she's 6 years old, and she remembers that stuff. Just think about what you're going home and saying and doing to your children. You think they won't remember it? I tell Amy all the time, babe, time's running out for us when we build this house. Soon our children are going to want to be leaving. Another 8, 9, 10 years, they're going to be out the door. Are we doing it right?
Yeah.
Huh? Are we doing the way the Lord? We're running out. Don't think you have another day with your children. You may not. Don't think, well, they're still young, man. I can still, listen, don't play that game.
That's right.
Don't play that game. Get serious about building your family, building your house. Building your house. Get serious with that stuff now. God forbid if your children ever got taken away from you for whatever reason, and then they're in an off somewhere in a home, and then you're going to say, man, what did I do? And you know what? The kids may not mean anything, but they're going to come out and tell the truth about everything you've done, and other people aren't going to be able to handle what you've done. Mm-hmm. They're going to say, oh, that's abuse. Mm-hmm. Anger and abuse. And I learned this from my mom. I learned this from my mom because my mom used to think that I was abusing my kids when I was spanking them. And I had to tell her, Mom, do you see me angry with my children when I hit them? No, then I'm not abusing them, Mom. When you're angry and you go after your children and you call them names and you spank them, you're abusing them. That is abuse. Calm yourself down. Take a break. The punishment's still going to be there, and it's still going to be just as effective. Do not ever go after your children angry. You'll destroy them. The Bible's, I'm going to show you where it says it, too. I'm going to bring in the Bible and show you where it says it. Calm yourself down first. That was the first thing I ever had to learn. Am I right, Amy? I had to learn how to calm down. Why? Because it destroys my... My kids still have scars, and it's been almost 3 years since I've done any of that to my children. They still have the scars of it. Calm down. The punishment will still be just as effective when you get there when you're calm. My children, when they see me coming in like this, they know it's about to get busy. And they are so afraid of me coming in nice and calm. Now, if I come in like this, not only are they afraid, but they're going to start hating me. They're going to not want me around them. They're not going to want to be hugging them. When I'm calling my children names and all that kind of stuff, do you think they're going to want anything to do with me? Not at all. Okay? So the first thing is we need to, listen, you have to be calm. Get your mouth and yourself in order. Don't go after your kids angry because they're going to remember that for the rest of their life. Okay? I don't know why I stopped on that, but I'm just telling you now, do the, if you say, well, I don't know how to do it, then do the opposite of how you're doing it. Just do the opposite of how you're doing it. Just walk away and calm down. Walk away and calm down. I'm just telling you now, the Lord will honor that more than any. I'm just telling you, He will honor that when you don't do that to your children. I had to learn a hard lesson. I learned a hard lesson doing that to my son. To see him curl up like that just breaks my heart. Man, I used to be like that to him. He's a child. I'm the adult. God put me in charge. And to see him act like that is my fault. It can happen to teenagers too. What foundation are you building your house on? The sand, which is a picture of the world and its ways, or the rock, which is a picture of Jesus and his ways? Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Matthew 7:25, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. The rock, which is Jesus, is the only foundation that can withstand the storms of life, the devil, and the sin nature. Let me say that again. The rock is the only foundation that can handle pride, the devil, the world, and your sin nature. That's why it has to be built on Jesus. Your sin nature will destroy everything that God is trying to build. The sand, which is a picture of the world and its ways, looks good. It looks strong. It looks like a good place to build your house, and then the storms begin. Matthew 7:26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sea. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. Great was the fall of it. It didn't say it was an easy fall. It said great was the fall. Great! I mean, a huge fall when your family falls apart because you built something. You built your house on the sand. It looks good. You test it out. Yeah, it looks nice and level. Yeah, I think that'd be a good place to build it. And you start building on there, and just a little storm comes in and just destroys everything, and it's a great fall. God forbid, oh Lord, please never let it happen to me and my family. Let it never happen where I start building my house on the sand. The world looks real good. It wants you to build up. It wants you to build your house on its ways. You start building your house. I know I lived for the world for how many years? And that, you know what it did? It crumbled underneath my feet. It washed away when the storms came. There's nothing there. There's no anchor. When I started building my house on the rock of Jesus Christ, the storms came. And guess what? We stood strong. We come out the other side every time. Didn't shake our foundation. Didn't move us, did it, Amy? Most people, quite a few years ago, when I got divorced, when they went through the things me and you did. We were on the verge of divorce, me and my wife. The verge of divorce, and Jesus said, hey, let me get in these hearts here. Let me get in here and do a little rearrange. Let me get some foundations changed around here. Go ahead and slip the world, that sand out of there. Let me get underneath here and let me be your firm foundation. He saved our marriage. You guys all have heard it a million times, and my wife used to pray that I would die every night. She prayed that I would die. She loved me. She didn't want to leave me. But she didn't want to be with somebody who was abusive, so she would pray that I would die. That's something? Now she prays I don't die because she wants me to stay around. Amen. Huh? Oh, it just kills me, man, because I just... If I could get more people to just see... see it, you know? They don't want to see it. I told Amy today, I said, gosh, if they could only see what I see for 5 minutes, maybe it just changed their mind. They just can't see it. They can't see, you know, the Lord has opened our, you know, for people who are saved here, the Lord has opened our eyes to the things that these people are so blind to. It's not that He doesn't want to open their eyes. He wants to open their eyes, and they refuse to look at it. They refuse to see it. They live in torment day and night. And they don't know that relief is just right there. Oh, man, it's just right there. The relief was there for us the whole time, Amy. We just missed it. Thank God we got it. Thank God He opened our eyes and our heart, man, and we got it. We got that relief, man. Let the storms come. Let them come. Get the blowing. I don't care. We're all right, man. You know, we're just running in our closet and get on our knees and just start praying. Lord, get us through this one too, man. We're ready. Buckle down. I always tell the kids, hey, put your boots on. Let's go. Strap them up. It's time to ride. We're going through it, man. Seems like we go through it at least once a week. Endure hardness is a good soldier. What's a soldier do? They go through it every day. He says, go ahead and endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's endure it then. Let's endure it. You don't know that word endure means to put up with things and a lot. You know what? That's a good thing for marriage. Yeah. You got to endure a lot in marriage, man. People think, oh, I'm going to get married, everything's going to be hunky-dory. Yeah. Endure hardness, man. And that comes from both sides.
Right.
Am I right, man? She knows I could be a jerk. Big jerk. You know what my main priority is? The Lord number one in my life. Because if I learn how to love Him first and foremost, they're going to get the benefits.
Yes.
Just saying. Oh, how great the fall of families and houses and homes in America, because no longer do they build on the Lord. But they are building on the sands of this world. Look at the divorce rate, unwanted kids, sexual sins, predators, broken homes, and tell me what people are building their houses on. Dare you say that the Bible is wrong? You cannot disagree. When you sit back and look at the world or these so-called Christians and watch their homes, and you tell me, what are they building it on? They think they have something firm. It's a foundation that's going to be okay. They're all on psychotropic pills, drinking, and drug addicts, being drug addicts, and going out there doing all this perverted stuff. That's because they have it. They know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They got it down pat. We're built on a rock. No, you're not. The only rock you're built on is crack or cocaine. That's the only thing you're built on.
Yeah.
You don't have it, man. That's why you need all this stuff to make it through one day. 6 years ago, when I walked in the door on 19 psychotropic pills a day. 19 a day. For explosive anger disorder. For post-traumatic stress syndrome. I mean, all this stuff. I had bipolar disorder. I mean, depression. I had all these tags. I mean, I was taking 19 pills a day. And I got delivered. Delivered. I take none.
None.
You know what? I needed to feel that pain. And like I always say with pastors, I'm not telling anybody. I'm not picking on anybody who takes them. I'm not telling you to go ahead and get off of them. I'm just telling you that was good for me, good for Dale Morey. The Lord knew that I needed to see some of the things that were wrong in my life. I needed to feel some of that pain so that I could see who I really was. And it woke me up. You know what it woke me up to? Getting saved. It allowed me to see and feel who I really was and what I was doing to myself and God. You know, when you do things wrong, let's say you just abuse your child just a little bit. Do you know who you're doing that wrong against? You're doing that wrong against God. He says you're better off to tie a millstone around your neck. Better off that you weren't even born to go ahead and mess with one of these little ones. We may not see the consequences now, but we will. He promises it. He says it in the Bible. I'm just telling you, man, people... Why would we think God would write these things in the Bible just for the fun of it? We need to start heeding some of what this Bible's telling you. Because I'm telling you right now, it's going to come to pass. If it hasn't already, it will come to pass. Please don't ever let me get caught up in it, Lord. Please. I never want to get caught up in it. I told my wife last night, watching this show, and this guy, out of nowhere, he had a perfect marriage, good wife, and blah, blah, blah. Just one day, went up and killed him. Just, I mean, out of nowhere. Just because, look at the lady. She was 29 years old. She said, I killed my 8-year-old son last week. She stabbed him to death in Buffalo to save him from hell. You go ahead and read the Bible. It's 8-year-old Cain that went to hell. She better hope to God that he didn't hit that age of accountability, or she just sent him to hell. But this is the thinking of people these days. Mm-hmm. I know that God's merciful, and if I ever cross a line with my wife, I would just hope that God would strike me dead right there on the spot. Just struck me dead right there if I ever do anything that was going to hurt my wife or my kids. I just want to ask you a question. Do you think that any of us that are saved in here today can't do the things that we used to do? We are not immune to it. We didn't get some kind of a shot that stops us from doing it and this and that. I told the kids downstairs today, my mom again can vouch for it. I was the best of the best. I mean, I could go in there and steal anything at any time, anywhere, man. I mean, it just wasn't an issue. And it got to the point where I did it every day, all day. The only place I never stole was from my mother. Now, somebody I know stole from her house. I didn't find out until later. But I never stole from my mother. Somebody else stole from my mom. I didn't like it. But I was a thief of thieves. And I'm just telling you right now, I could make $2,500 here in the next 3 or 4 hours. A day. A day. Let me ask you a question. Am I not still standing here today? I still have those criminal abilities in me today. I just want to let you know that. Don't think for a second that I can't go out there and make that type of money. The least amount of money that I used to make in a day was $500. The least. A day. I didn't take Sundays off because I didn't go to church. Matter of fact, I used to rob churches. That's my mom. She'll tell you. I robbed churches too. Because one of the questions from Randy was, well, at least you never robbed churches. She said, oh, yes, I did. And I brought my mom with me. Okay? I'm just saying. That person stands before you today. We are struggling with money, second to none. I mean, we're just having a hard, hard time. Am I out there doing that? No. No, I'd rather struggle and suffer with my wife and have Jesus Christ than to go out there and risk anything. Risk any of losing that.
Amen.
Could you imagine me putting, just for some money, just to get me out of a hole, risking my family, risking my house, risking what the Lord has been building on? I mean, risking just going out there and throwing all that away? Wouldn't it be worth for me to do that? I'd rather suffer. I'd rather suffer, hold on to my wife and kids in a cardboard box than to go out there and steal them. That's just the God's honest truth, man. I'll hold on to them we'll hold on to each other. She said, I'll go anywhere with you. I believe my wife will go anywhere with me. There was a time that she would never say that, and it would not be the truth. But I'm just telling you right now, if it came down to where we lived in a cardboard box, them three would be with me. That's a fact. It's not even a question. Not even a question, Pastor. I wouldn't even question. They'd be right there with me, covered up under the blankets or whatever we have. Why? Because of me? No, because of what the Lord has done. Because of us building our home on a rock. On Jesus Christ, because of our home being built on Jesus Christ, on that Word of God. I listen to the preaching. I come into church. Our home has been built on that rock, on the house. It's being settled. It's a house that God doesn't mind coming in and hanging out with me and the kids and Aunt. It's a house where it's settled that we're going to serve the Lord, man. That's all there is to it. Regardless of what we go through, we're going to serve Him. What do we have to lose besides material things? Have it. That's not my reward. I like having things here. I'm not saying I don't like to have money or nice things, but I'm telling you now, I'm going to have it in glory. I mean, the gold, I'm going to be able to see through the gold. That's mine. It's waiting there for it. I'm a Baptist. I like to eat. You know the joke? I'm going to be able to go to heaven and eat all my, never be fat. Woo! You got to say it. But see, one of the things the Lord put on my heart last week, He said, Dale, don't mind the things of this world. Yours is not here, buddy. And me and Amy talked a couple weeks ago. I said, you know what, hon? I already know it. She knows. I said, hon, God just doesn't want us to have a lot of money because He knows we'd ruin our life with it. She looked at me and she goes, you're right. I said, then let's just be happy with it. We already know it. We already know, even to this day, saying almost 3 years, if God put $1 million in my Amy's hand, we would destroy ourselves with it. So He just gives us trickles here and there. Enough to keep us floating, you know? But that's He knows that's what we need. Now here's the hard part, is trusting that.
Yeah.
Now I'm just telling you, I just stood up here and told you, I explained to you what kind of a convict I was and what kind of money I can go make. And yet I choose. to suffer with the things of God and the pleasures of this world.
Amen.
Just telling you, man. Where did that come from? Some fable? Is this a fable?
Yeah.
Is this not real? What takes a guy like me, Mom, and change? You know me. These people here don't know me like you know me. What changed me, Mom? You guys hear the stories. You don't know the nightmare that my mother lived through, watching me go through what I and the type of person I was. What changes a person like that? Mike Rizzuti. You guys have heard Mike Rizzuti. 10 years in prison, big old cock diesel guy. I mean, covered in tattoos. What changes us like that? What changes men like me and him? What changes people like Pastor Randall? What is it, a fable? This thing's not real? This is real. The reality you're living in is not.
Yeah.
If you're not building your home on the rock, if you're not building your house where it should be built, you're not living in reality. But you want to call people like me crazy. And I don't think anybody in this room calls me crazy. If you do, that's fine. I understand. But I'm just telling you now. There's something to this thing, man. It's real.
Yeah.
It's as real as it gets.
Yeah.
Ecclesiastes 10:18, by much slothfulness, the building decayeth, and through the idleness of hands, the house droppeth through. Let me just explain that to you. Here we see the houses that are not being built on the Lord. They are a place of rottenness, a place that is slowly falling apart, piece by piece, and people are too blind to see it. They are discouraged, angry, blind, and living for the pleasures of this world, and just don't care about the things happening to their house. By the time they realize it, their home, their children, their husband, their wife, their monies, and their love has slipped right through their hands. And their house stands in ruins, total destruction. And it doesn't have to be. It does not have to be. Much slothfulness, the building decayeth. And through the idleness of hands, the house droppeth through. And I'm just telling you right now, it doesn't have to be that. God does not intend it for anybody's house in here to slip through your hands. You can stop it today. There's warnings in the Bible that tell you how to do it. They teach you how to do these things. And the single moms, this doesn't exclude you. God doesn't want you to say, well, I'm a single, I don't have a husband. No, I'm going to just tell you right now, it's sad that men can't step up and be men anymore. And I was one of those men, and I understand, and I feel bad for the single mom, but that's no excuse for you. God has given you guys a job to do, man. And that's all there is. That's a hard thing, man. That's a hard thing. But I'm just telling you now, listen to what he says here. By much slothfulness, the building decayeth. Don't let your house rot away. Don't let your house fall through what this sickness is. That was in Ecclesiastes 10:18. Their houses are a place of rottenness, a place that is slowly falling apart, piece by piece. And they are too blinded to see it. They're discouraged, angry, and blind, living for the pleasures of this world, and just don't care what's happening. Listen to me. You look at America today. Are these homes happy? Are they happy? Look at them. There's no even hardly any married anymore. Even older folks are getting divorced. I just can't imagine now what my children are going to have to see when they look back at a generation, including myself, where divorce is the most popular thing. Everybody's divorcing today. Everybody. I wish I would have known. I wish I would have known better. I didn't know any better. Okay? I was raised. My mom didn't know any better. She was raised different. We didn't. Listen. I was raised on, if you don't like the person, divorce them. That's just the standards I was raised on. I didn't know any better. But Jesus saved you from that. And I'm telling you now, me and Amy have been through some hard times that would have constituted divorce. But see, God stepped in 6 years ago on that porch, 6.5 years ago, didn't he? He stepped in by a man coming in saying, I'm John Asquith, I'm your pastor. I just looked at him and said, you are not my pastor. I don't have a pastor. Smoking a cigarette, drinking a beer. I said, you are not my pastor. He said, you have one now. So he said to me, 3 months, she started coming to the church. I was picking on her. I used to make fun of her. Then she just said, please, will you come one Sunday? I said, okay, I'll go. Been here ever since.
Amen.
I missed some. And that was a hard lesson. My pride. I would miss services. And that's when the Lord had to break me. Now by the grace of God, thank God I don't even miss a service. It's not because I'm better than anybody or anything. That's just something the Lord taught me. That's where He had to break me at. That's where He had to break my pride and show me you need to be in services all the time. You're the knucklehead. You're the hard head that needs. You don't need to be going anywhere. And has it hurt me in my life? Not at all. Now it's to the point where our families go, we know Sundays don't work anymore. We'll do it a different day. That's right. Don't call me on a Sunday. We're not going to your house unless it's after 2 o'clock service. Am I right, Ann? That's a hard one to get through people's head. So now her parents and everybody, you just keep going. I'll tell you, it changed. Now they know that we leave church at 2 o'clock. We'll be there 45 minutes later. They know. Okay, well, we'll make it for 3 or 4 o'clock. That gives you time. Yep, we'll be there then. Or we'll do it on another day. I'm just telling you, build your house. Be in the house of God, man. Gosh, I never have enough time. But 24:15, Joshua. And if it seem evil unto thee to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is your house settled on letting the Lord dwell in your house? Can the Lord have His way there? Is it being formed into a place the Lord can call home? Look at some of the ways that your house can be built. And I'm going to go into it. It's Ephesians 5. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh and nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord of the church. That's a big thing. So men, love your wives as yourself. Now what the Lord is telling me, Dale, you married Amy. Now you're not two people. You need to take care of her like she's your own very body. You need to watch out for her. He says that the woman is our weaker vessel. And there's times that I don't treat my wife like she's a weaker vessel. And I get in a lot of trouble for that. A lot. Because I need to be mindful of her. God made me the stronger one. Not the smarter one. Not the one who knows everything. He just made me physically. I can handle more than my wife can. Okay? And I mean, I believe all men are built like that. Pastor Hanks can handle more than his wife can handle. That's before she even got hurt. That's just how God built. But you know what? You have women now who think that God punished them by doing that. You know, my wife said to me on the way here, honey, I'm glad God designed it where you're in charge and I'm not. Mm-hmm. That's how God designed it.
That's right.
God wasn't trying to punish the women. He was giving them somebody who would love them, take care of them, who can help make decisions for them, raise their children with them, be there for them. Are you a second-class citizen in my home, Amy? Are you? God forbid if I ever did that to my wife. Treat her like a second. Now, when I make decisions, I'm the one who makes the final say. But when I make decisions, who's involved in it, hon? My wife is. She's not a slave. I'll slave her. I'll do all the kind of stuff that these women live, think, how people believe. I don't get into that garbage where I whip her around. That's not who she is. She's my flesh. So I'm going to treat her like I would treat myself. I'm going to treat her like somebody that needs to be fed and loved and hugged and held and listened to and all that. That's what she's going to get. That's such a bad thing? Our situation's a little bad right now because I can't work. And she knows I hate it with a passion. Now, when I first started coming here, it was fine for her to work with me, sit home, and me play video games. That's what I was doing. That's how my lifestyle was. Now I can't see that. I hate sitting home and her being out there working. It's hard for me to have to fight every day. I got to go, not every day, but a lot of times I got to go, because what's so natural now for me to say, I'm the man, I should be bringing in the bread. Now I can't make enough money for us to survive, even if I was out there working. I have a criminal record that stops me from doing a lot of things. There's no way on God's green earth me and her will survive just on my income. It's not going to happen. So she works. She don't want to sit home anyway, and that's fine with me. I don't have an issue with that. I said, hon, my goal is one day for me to work, and you can stay home with the children in the house. You know what she told me? She would hate that. Then fine, don't do it. That's fine. You don't have to do it. But part-time would be good. If she wants to work part-time and then be home the rest of the time, that would be great for me. But right now, that's not happening. And you know what's happening? A lot of Christians, that's happening to these days, where the men are injured where they can't work. Mm-hmm. And the wise have to work. You try. Mm-hmm. You think it's easy? You try it once. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and try it. Go ahead and try it when you have that new man, you have that new Christ living in you, and you know for a fact that you should be out there working and doing what you can, but physically unable. You try it, that's easy. I'd like to see you try it for a day. Bet you it'd drive you nuts. Bet you'd go out of your mind. Now, I've been doing it for a year and it drives me up the wall. I hate every minute. I hurt myself doing things at home, don't I? Because I just can't stand the fact of sitting there. And I don't just sit there. I do laundry. I vacuum. I do all that stuff against what I should not be doing, and I pay a price for it. But I'm not going to have my wife going out there working while I sit home and do nothing. Not happening.
Amen.
Not happening. Call me what you want to call me, Mrs. Housekeeper and everything else. I'll come do your stuff and pay me. I'm just saying. Where we building our houses. One day, I believe, I don't know what the Lord has for me. I'm hoping that He's going to take Amy out of her job. After she graduates, maybe she'll get out of her job, and the Lord will put us on the road, and we'll go out there evangelizing or working with teenage kids. Or I don't know what the Lord has planned. But I know one thing. While I'm sitting at home, and I was doing nothing, I'm going to get into the Word, and I'm going to see what He has for me. I'm going to get into Wellspring. I'm going to do 1 o'clock. I'm going to do teens here. I'm going to do a Friday night team. But I say I'm going to get involved in the ministry while I'm not working. Let's see where the Lord brings that. I'm not going to just sit home and do nothing. There's something that's going to be done. I study, and I study a lot of hours. I mean, I put some hours into studying. Am I complaining? Not a bit. Why? Because it's helped me build my house. It's helped me build my foundation. It's helping me stay close to the Lord. It gives me things that I should be preaching on. But I'm going to give you another secret too for you guys that are out there working. I used to do the same amount of studying when I worked too. And I worked 12, 14 hour days. Don't tell me you can't study and read and go to work. You can't. Did I not do it, Amy? Faithfully. Faithfully every day. I had to, sometimes I had to be at work at 6 o'clock in the morning, which means I had to be there at 5:45 to check in. I would get up at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning just to study. Just to make sure I had enough time to do it. And work my whole shift. Why? Because I want to build my house on something that's going to stand. Mm-hmm. Pastor Randall drove for, I'm going to be done here in 1 minute. He drove truck for 24 hours straight. Would come, teach us, and go teach college, and then go ahead and preach on Wednesday and Sunday after driving for 24 hours. No sleep. Our pastor used to be able to do that too. He can go work 8 hour days, come here and preach a service. But I'm just telling you, you got to build character in somebody who thinks, well, I can't work and study. Yes, you can. Where's your heart? I'm just saying. If anybody who's stuck at home like me and you're having a hard time, I'm just get in the Bible. That's our relief. That's our way out is the Bible. To study it. Why not study it? It's a good thing to study. God has something for each and every one of us. And just wants us to know where we're building our house. And I'm done with that.